The gospel that you've just heard from Mark there is the last part of the gospel, according to Mark, before Mark enters into the final events of Jesus' life. The words that you heard Jesus say then when he sat opposite the treasury are the last words that Jesus spoke in the synagogue. So Mark has positioned Jesus and passing on what he has heard in a very particular way to assist the audience, the early church, in coming to understand the power of Jesus' message and the outcome that was sought from that message. And as the church does, it links very often the first reading with the gospel. And so the common theme there, of course, firstly, is widows. There's no doubt about that. And secondly, it would have to be the generosity of giving. In the first reading from Kings there, we have the widow of Zarephath. She gave everything she had. She said, I've got a bit of meal and a bit of oil, and I'm going to make a scone for my son and I, and then we're going to die. So they were in a very severe drought. And it's in the northern part up near Lebanon, modern-day Lebanon. So Elijah, the prophet, was actually out of his holy land, if you like. He was in foreign territory. And he put this demand on this widow, and she followed through what was asked of her. Why would she do that? Well, firstly, because she was a woman, she was a widow, and put those two together, she had nothing. Keep that in mind when we think about widows in biblical time. Once they lost their husband, and they had no older son to look after them, they lost all of their inheritance, they lost everything that they owned, and they would then be expected, more often than not, to return to their own family, and therefore their own family would then treat them as though they're a burden, because they're bringing back possibly children, and who's going to look after these new arrivals? So the state of a widow in Jesus' time even was not a happy place to be. So Elijah there makes this demand, she gives everything, and none of it is spent. So, of course, no meal being spent is the great symbol of being fed for eternity. So her eternity was guaranteed, I suppose, in that act of generosity. We then come to Jesus talking inside the temple. Now, this was the temple that Herod was rebuilding. And so when you walked into the temple, there were three courts. Women were only allowed into the first court, and therefore it was called the Court of Women. And as they walked in, there were 13 trumpet-like vases, big vases, and that's where people made their temple offerings. And so we've got the story, the second part of the gospel, of the widow coming in and giving everything she owned, two pennies. It's what we know as the widow's mite. But before then, Jesus aims both barrels at the scribes. Now, the scribes were the precursors, if you like, before rabbis. There were no rabbis until about 200 years before Jesus came on the scene, roundabout. Now, they were people who knew the scriptures very well. They knew the Torah meticulously, and they would also legislate on the Torah, on the scriptures. So they had biblical and theological knowledge and experience, but they had legal knowledge. And they therefore put themselves up in society as people who were very, very grand. And Jesus goes straight into the issues there that make them stand out. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes. The long robe that they're referring to is a thing called a talaf. It's what we know as a prayer shawl. And it's, if you go to the Western Wall, known as the Wailing Wall, the people who wear their talaf there, it's smaller than a beach towel usually. But these scribes had made themselves so important, they made them bigger and fancier. So what I put on display for you tonight is a talaf that I actually picked up from the Western Wall. and that goes over. And it has in it, sewn in it, believe it or not, four Christian verses. And it's a prayer shawl that goes over. So that's just your standard one. But the scribes in Jesus' time made themselves stand out. I'm not talking high viz. They were people who really put themselves up above everybody else and made sure that everybody else knew about it. Even in the law, if you were a lesser scribe or a lesser person than a scribe, and a scribe came walking past, you had to say hello and acknowledge the scribe before the scribe could say hello and acknowledge you. It was written in the law, the Talmud. That's where they were at. In terms of sitting in the synagogue, for example, they sat in seats with backs on them. Those backs rested against the wall. What was behind the wall? The ark, which held the scrolls of Moses. So the law, the letters of the law, the scriptures as we would know them, the Torah, were all behind that wall. So the very back in which the scribes would sit on and lean like this was covering, in a sense, where the Torah was. So it just highlighted again how important they thought they were. The one thing that Jesus despised was hypocrisy. There were many things he didn't like, but hypocrisy was the one thing that he really and truly despised. And the scribes, most of whom were Pharisees, the scribes had put themselves in this position where they would say one thing and they would do another. And he even refers to them robbing the widows. Now, the money that was going into those trumpet-like vessels, into the treasury, was to support the building of the temple and the priests. But the scribes would charge people for their services, and though they weren't supposed to, their legal services. And therefore, they made quite a living, some of them. Not all of them, but certainly some of them. So Jesus is really pointing, and they were the ones who were gunning for Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees. So that's why Jesus points his barrels at them at this particular time, because they're the epitome of hypocrisy. Now, if you closed your eyes and think, who's the epitome of hypocrisy these days? I don't want to know your answer. But those people exist, and it makes life uncomfortable for just very good, normal people. And they very good, normal people are usually people who walk around with a sense of humility, a sense of the dignity of themselves, but they know their place in a dignified way. They are not people who put themselves above anybody else. It's like a Navy chaplain, if you don't mind me saying. Navy chaplain was always as the rank of the person that he was talking to, never above, never below. And I've always really liked that. It's why Navy chaplains never wear rank. Unlike the Army and the Air Force, but we won't go there. They wear their insignia of who they are on their shoulders. And I've always, as you've heard me say before, felt very comfortable with that. So there we have the scribes. And now you understand more about widows as well. So the second part of the gospel, and Mark is wanting to leave this as the last part before Jesus begins his ascendancy into heaven, as it were, through his passion and death. So the widow comes in, and Jesus is not having a go at rich people. He says many rich people put in, they were generous. He's not having a go, and we don't have a go at rich people. It's what people do with what they have that Jesus is trying to highlight here. And some were generous. But this widow, who had, by society and by the dramas and traumas of life, had lost everything, she came in. And she didn't have big fancy robes or anything. She went as far as she was allowed to go into the temple, and she gave what she had, which is known to many as the widow's mite. And I've brought that forward in the church before. That's a widow's mite. It's actually a copy of a widow's mite. It's tiny little, it's the poorest of the poor coins. It's the nothing coin almost. And I know that that's a copy. So I did pass the coins around here a couple of years ago, and of the three I passed around, I got two back. But the widow's mite, and it represents everything that this poor woman had. So you notice that she's putting it into the temple treasury. So she, with everything that she has, is building up the temple. That is the symbolism of us who have what little or what great we do have. If we give everything so that we can do the work that God wants us to do, then we are building up the temple. Don't remove ourselves from the story and from the events in Scripture. Immerse ourselves in it. Where does this parallel in my life? What little or whatever I have, whatever my gifts might be, it may be financial, it may not be. Whatever I have, I give all that I am at this time with all that I have so that I can help build up the temple of God, the kingdom of God here and now. That's what God asks of all of us. And in Mark's gospel, he is using the widow, he's using the scribes, and he's using the generosity of some and the lack of generosity of others to help us zero in our own life as like an examination of conscience in a sense. Am I generous or am I not? Do I withhold or do I open up? Do I give of my surplus or do I give of my spirit?